say?
On behalf of the Association of Gastrointestinal Motility Disorders, or AGMD, I'd like to welcome you to our Let's Talk series program. Before we begin, I'd like to introduce myself to all those who do not know me. My name is Mary Angela DeGrazia DiTucci. I'm a longtime patient who suffers from multiple digestive motility disorders and a host of other non-digestive diseases. In 1991, I was privileged to start this association, which over the years has grown beyond expectations. AGMD is a nonprofit international organization that provides support, education, awareness, and advocacy, and it promotes further research in the specialized area of gastroenterology. Today, our focus will be on dealing with the guilt. This is a topic that so many patients struggle with, and it is one that can continually challenge our ability to cope with the impact that digestive motility disorders can have on every aspect of our lives. Everyone here is welcome to share their experiences and feelings of guilt, but we also encourage you to provide any tips that have worked for you on how to cope with this powerful and destructive feeling known as guilt. It's very easy to feel the pain of guilt when one is struck with chronic digestive motility disease, even though in reality, we didn't cause our illness. Many patients can see the domino effect it has on so many other people's lives, and somehow, many of us feel responsible. When you observe that worried, anxious look on a loved one's face and the fear that's deeply embedded there, it's difficult for you not to have thoughts that if it weren't for me, their lives would be normal. When you can't attend a social event, measure up to your own expectations, let alone others, seeing your finances dwindle, not being able to work, depending on others for help, being hospitalized, being sick all the time, and causing loved ones to worry, putting a strain on relationships, all of as a result of your illness, guilt can easily seep into the patient's mind. I know for myself, when the disease first invaded my life, I could see immediately the enormous effect that my failing health had on my family. They were so eager to help, but you could also see that their faces were laced with terror and worry of seeing this once happy, healthy child, sister, spouse, slowly disappear into the sickly, frail shell of a person, and it was too much for them to bear. Trying to maintain some normalcy as our worlds were crumbling before us was difficult, to say the least. And the long journey that it took for me to find out what was wrong with me made me keep on looking at what this was doing to my family. And I was compelled to try to make life easier for them. And ironically, by doing that, I gained even more strength. My husband is concerned to leave me, even for a moment. So it's really difficult for him. We can't attend a lot of social functions. It's because of my health, our dreams and plans changed. We live our lives in the balance of faith and pain. It is as if we are living with a time bomb, just waiting for the next health crisis to occur. And all because of my health, our finances have suffered. We have missed out on important events. We've missed out on traveling and many other things that so-called normal people experience. Because of my health, the husband and family have made tremendous sacrifices through the years. And today, even as my health has worsened and become so painfully fragile, I watch that unspoken strain that continues to invade our private world. It's easy to stay in that pool of self-guilt when one sees all the changes, losses, emotions, and adaptations that patients and their loved ones must make. After over 36 years of living with this, as well as a myriad of other serious illnesses, what works for me is I allow myself only a brief moment of self-guilt. Usually these are sparked when the symptoms are exacerbated or when there is a health crisis or an observation of someone making a sacrifice on my behalf because of my health. But then what I do is I start to reflect on all the blessings in my life, and truly they are abundant. I have a loving family, loving husband, loving friends, and of course AGMZ, and how blessed that I am that everybody cares so much and are willing to sacrifice so much of themselves, of their lives for me. And I know that if the tables were turned and one of them became ill, I would do exactly the same thing for them. So now on that note, I invite all of you to share your thoughts on this topic. And if anyone would like to start, state your first name, and I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Mary Angela.
Yes.
This is Mom, and I have a comment to make. I totally can sympathize and understand about feeling guilty because Mom and Dad has been ill with some health issues. He's better now, but him and Mom are going to be going out of town, and Mom felt really guilty, and I felt guilty because Dad was like, well, if he not didn't have these health issues, we wouldn't have to worry about finding someone to help and take care of her, and my sisters are going to step in and help, but I totally can understand because, I feel guilty sometimes that, you know, if it wasn't for me, that they wouldn't have to worry about helping me because I have to have enemas that night and bathroom stuff that I didn't have to have years ago. And so I try to focus mainly on the blessings that happen. And I totally can understand. Sometimes I feel guilty because trying to follow others' expectations, as I mentioned to you earlier about that friend that wanted me to go to the restaurant, and I felt guilty about having to cancel. But then I realized for everybody concerned, it would be a lot better if I didn't go, because then if I had a problem, I may not get the help I need, and so I totally understand.
Yeah, dealing with the guilt, it hurts. It hurts us. It's painful watching others and having to depend on people, and as these motility disorders are so unpredictable that it impacts absolutely every aspect of a patient's life. It really does, as well as the family's life. So guilt, some of us are genetically made to have guilt to begin with, but when you have something as big as this, that guilt is ripe to blossom into unbearable feeling. It's very hard. And along with guilt then comes other emotions. So you can become angry with yourself. You can become sad because of all that you have gone through and what it's done to everybody else. It's very painful. And so I understand what people go through.
May I make a comment? The other day I had the emotional roller coaster where I was having uncontrollable crying, uncontrollable sadness because of Mom having to go on the trip and being that she was my caretaker and kept saying, don't leave me, she said, Sassy's going to take care of you, it's okay, and it took me a while, it took me about an hour to get over the sadness that I had and Mom was having to go and she really wanted to stay, but Dad, doesn't always understand why she had to take care of me. It's difficult. And so But I had the emotional roller coaster the other day. And, you know, certain people in the family didn't understand why I was having these uncontrollable crying spells, you know, and sadness and guilt from having to be, you know, all of a sudden just knowing that they're going and says, you know, I'm going to be okay. It's just, but the emotional roller coaster the other day. And what would you recommend, like when you have those spells, what would you recommend if somebody in the family says, well, why are you having these uncontrollable crying spells? Why, you know, what would, because I didn't know.
Let me just say that, first of all, guilt is a component with all of us of the mourning of a life that you once knew, the mourning of losing control and not being able to have a healthy life, mourning any type of dreams that you may have planned and life had other plans for you, mourning the loss of food, mourning the freedom of doing things. So when you have this guilt, that's a component of it. And sometimes all of these emotions collide. And with digestive motility, because it seems to ebb, you get episodes where it's really bad, and then you may get episodes where it kind of plateaus, never terrific, but somewhat bearable because now you're used to it. It's a yo-yo. And in some diseases, you go through the mourning process, and then that's it. You accept it. But with these types of diseases and disorders, it's not unusual to find that you go through this episode of mourning at periods of time throughout the course of your illness. Guilt is riddled in just about anything that happens. You're disappointed. You're disappointed with yourself. You're disappointed in the fact that you may have expectations that you should be able to go someplace. Or you are disappointed because you wanted to go to a family event and missed out. All of these things contribute to that, all those emotions, and it's part of learning to cope. And once you learn to accept your illness, which is a continuous process, I'm not going to say that it's easy, but in some people, at least you realize what's happening, and it becomes a little bit, I guess, easier in some degree. Has anybody else had experience of being disappointed because they haven't been able to go someplace or haven't met their own expectations, let alone others?
Yes, this is Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Laura.
Yes, hi, Laura.
Hi. I actually got gastroparesis 5 days before my one-year anniversary. My husband, the guilt I feel towards what I did to him is unbearable because nobody else was around. Everybody kind of bailed on us. That man took me to the hospital. He ruined his life, basically, to care for me. And it's a very hard thing for me. Still, the guilt I feel, I don't think I can ever do enough to pay him back for what he's done for me. And he just says, it's, you know, I love you, that's how it works. But I know a lot of people that it doesn't work that way. And the guilt I feel towards, you know, all the part for 5 years, we didn't make it to one Christmas party, one anything. We were home all the time because I would get sick all the time. Yeah, you know, brother's wedding, we got ceremony, and then we had to leave. You know, things like that. And it's very nerve-wracking, the guilt that you can carry with you that, you know, I'm begging God, why does he do this to me? But it's not him, but it's better than something than nothing, you know, to say. And I feel so bad for my husband and what I put him through, what he's had to go through. I mean, I intentionally put him through anything, but with this disease, you all must know how, you know, gross it can get. So, you know, guilt is a really, really strong emotion in this kind of a relationship between patient and family or patient and loved one. Guilt is very hard to control. Once you do get a little grip on the control and understand, which is very hard for me, that I don't have a choice. I can't do it myself or anymore. And, you know, being very independent, it's hard to give that up. But you have to. So now I'm at a point, you know, and I still say I'm sorry when I get sick and they almost, my husband almost smacks me, but stop saying you're sorry. But other than that, I've kind of let it roll. And if I'm sick, I'm sick. I don't tiptoe around anybody. I'm just, you know, I can't make it, I'm sick. And there's a lot of guilt for all the family members, too, you know, that we haven't been able to see. But things have gotten better, so we've made up most of our relationships, and which is good. But I still carry around a lot of guilt with this.
Yeah, it's so difficult when you see that. But now my question is, just like with me, if the table was turned, what would you do?
Same thing. I would do the same
exactly.
thing for him.
Exactly. And that's the part that you just have to stop and say. Sometimes what happens, too, is because you don't feel well or you're frustrated or you're struggling to deal with all of this, you may get angry, and you may get angry or snap at the people who are really important in your life,
you, yeah.
who care and love. And then you feel guilty that you did that. But it's all part of the process, and that's, I guess, the frustrating thing, because mm-hmm. when you're without intentionally trying, you end up hurting those people, and that adds to the layer of guilt. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add?
This is Johanna Barrington.
Hi, Johanna.
On the guilt thing, the thing I'm struggling with the most right now is, I guess, the frustrations of I want to do things, but I can't, and accepting that I had my colon removed a year ago and was hoping things would improve, but haven't. And then it's just like, you know, through the holiday seasons and stuff, and you're tired and everything, and I push through. I constantly push myself through to do things, but it's like I made plans like a week ago to do a dog show with friends and stuff, and realistically, I should have never made the plans, but I find myself doing that because I say no, and then I have to cancel. How do you accept and be able to deal and say no to people and just not go? That's my biggest question, is I can't say no, because I've lost friends through the years with my illness. And so you feel like if you say no too many times, you know, they're going to move on, which has happened in the past. And then you're left alone and nobody wants to do anything with you because, oh, she cancels all the time or this or that. I mean, it even happens to family, because I have nieces and nephews and I live with my parents. And there's issues where I have guilt because my parents care for me. And, you know, the grandkids get to the back burner or grandkids' activities. So, you know, we make the important things, but... You know, I often hear, well, it's because of you that grandma and grandpa don't come or things. I mean, how do you get past all that?
Joanne. This is
It's Johanna. Johanna.
Oh, Johanna. This is Anand. May I make a comment? I went through that same experience. Several times, because I have a lot of friends that want to do different activities with me, like going out to eat or going here or going there. And what I basically really had to do is, as hard as it is and as tough it is I basically had to tell them if they want to see me, because a lot of times they don't want to deal with the violence. I try to have them come to me rather than going out. So maybe a suggestion would be if the grandkids came over to you, and even though you may not be able to eat with them, maybe give them a story or doing some sort of songs with them or doing some sort of craft or some sort of activity that doesn't involve food would be a suggestion. I find that because of the motility disorders that I deal with and the unpredictable nature, I hardly go out much anymore. I have friends come to me all the time because what I've learned is if people really care about me, you know, they'll stay by you. If they don't want to come over because of the motility, then I feel it's like their loss, you know, because I also have other disabilities as well, besides motility issues. And I have incontinence. So I have people come to me instead of going to them. That might be a suggestion, that if you're home, you know, people could come to you, and then you're in your own environment. And one of another suggestion might be to, if there's an event like graduations or some ceremony, I know it's not the same, but maybe recording it onto a DVD or some way that they could record the event so that you could hear what was going on. I hope that helped.
Mm-hmm. The one thing that I would say is, it's okay to have people come over, and those are excellent suggestions. However, if you are in an exacerbated mode, it's tough, and sometimes you never know when those exacerbations are going to come. Am I correct, Johanna?
Yes.
So that makes it a little bit challenging. And when people stop connecting with you because they're saying no, first of all, number one, you are like many of us who push ourselves and we keep on pushing through as much as we can. And then when we don't meet that expectation, we become very disappointed in ourselves. And then second of all, when you're ill like this, and it's hard to say no. Some people no comes very easily. For other people, like you and I, and I'm sure there are other people on here, it's a struggle. We try to do as much as we can, yes to everything, and then when that doesn't happen, it's again disappointing, and there in some the layer of guilt. But you quickly find out who your friends are, that's for sure. And the close ones are the ones that will stay. And even though it's their loss, it's still your loss, too, because now you're mourning that social aspect.
Right. I agree, Mary Angela. I understand.
Yeah.
I agree on that.
My mother always used to say, you can count your true friends on one hand, and those are the ones who will be with you through thick and thin, without question. The others may be friends, but not that deep friendship that is, you know, through any trial, through anything at all, they're there for you as you would be for them. And it's absolutely true. Because everybody gets busy with their own lives. If there are social events and then you can't go, well then, you know, you're going to get tired of asking you. So I know in my case where it's hard for me to say no, I have trained my family and all of my friends within my circle that I still want to go and I can participate. However, I don't go out at night. I don't go out late afternoon. So if you're going to have something, it has to be relatively early. And if it runs later, I may make a little appearance, but I'm going to have to leave early. At least I'm being able to partake. And the times when I can't make it at all, you know, it's difficult for everybody, but I think everybody around me understands. And not everybody has that in their life. You may have people that we don't understand, like in an arms case, and that is even harder. So again, that I'm very blessed. But
well, and the other thing they don't understand, like if you make a plan like several months ahead of time and you say, well, I'll say yes now, but I have no clue where I'll be at that time. But then in the back of your head, you always think, you know, the probability of making it 3 months from now is like slim to none. So you have that guilt of even committing ahead of time, hearing with you, oh, the event comes.
Yep, I understand. Even with this organization, there have been times when I have scheduled an event like this and then have had to cancel because of my health. So not only do I have the guilt within the family and friends, but then it goes within the organization because I expect myself to be able to work through anything. High expectations, and this is an important thing for other people. And when you can't do it, then you have those feelings of failure and guilt, and all of that comes with it.
And I even get feelings of failure and guilt of just things I want to get done personally, like, you know, hanging pictures in my room or something. And, you know, it's been months I say, oh, I'm going to do it, never get it done, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that even though a lot of the people on this line are quiet, I suspect that either their heads are bopping up and down going, yeah, I understand, that's just like me. Because it's very rare when you find somebody with these types of motility problems and they say, no, I don't have this at all. Never happens to me. The guilt, no way. That isn't part of my life. Because there's a domino effect with it, it absolutely has to infiltrate into your emotion. You can't separate the mind from the body. And if you have a motility problem which progresses, it becomes harder. And if you have a motility problem that progresses and then you have other debilitating illnesses on top of it, it's an ongoing process. Ongoing.
Is there anything anybody does for themselves to work past it, or that, like I had a friend with cancer tell me not to focus on everything I want to get done, but just pick one thing and accomplish one thing a day. Is there anybody that, and feel good about, even if it's a thing, just, you know.
Yes, my name's Abby.
Oh, hi, Abby.
Hi. On that note, I am a list maker. I've been organized. That's how I've been my whole life. And, you know, it's such a disappointment when I started to not being able to complete my list. And looking at the list, knowing some will be medical calls that are going to take a lot of time, but also emotion and energy out of me. So what I do now is I have index cards, and I cut them in half, and I have a little cork board, and everything I need to do is one piece of paper, you know, one half of an index card. So people, when they say, oh, is there anything I can do, and, you know, somebody doesn't have many skills, it's like, okay, you can, you know, go shred documents, you can, you know, do this, do that, but that way I don't have a huge list that I've failed on. That way I just have tasks and I try to prioritize them. But yeah, it sucks knowing your body's slowing down. and I do get overwhelmed by it, but that's one thing that I do to, you know, it's hard to take it easy on myself. I'm my own worst critic. But, you know, I was just having a conversation with somebody the other day. You know, if you smile at somebody, 95% chance they're going to smile back. And in the big picture, that's pretty good. That makes me feel good, you know. So I think high hopes and low expectations. But I do also feel very much that guilty about especially finance. You know,
yeah,
I'm disabled and I live in senior housing, and you know, my parents are retired and they own their home, and I can't imagine how this is going to go financially. I don't want to ask them for money, but at the same time, I'm emptying my, I'm empty. So, yeah, it is, there's a lot
of guilt. This is Lara. It's a very, very expensive medical disease. We ended up filing bankruptcy because of all my medical bills. Sorry to interrupt.
Has anybody fundraisers? I mean, because I had a friend suggest to me maybe about doing a fundraiser, but then I feel guilty because, like, you know, typically the fundraisers are, you know, like cancer patients and stuff. But has anybody ever done anything like that?
Well, let me share something with you, Johanna. I volunteer, and I also have a motility disorder, and I also have to do calls, and I needed to get a very expensive piece of equipment recently in order to join our motility meetings, my brailler. And so what I did was I put, you know, notes to people, and I said the brailler cost such, it was like, $800, and I said, if everybody can just give in $5, and one by one within 2 weeks, people started donating $5 here, $5 there, and it added up to the full $800, and so I had my own little fundraiser trying to fundraise for the brailler so that I could join our motility meetings, because I was without one for 6 months. And so sometimes, you know, I've had to do that for myself because I'm a volunteer. I don't work, so that's why I do my fundraising. And I wasn't afraid to ask people.
Different people are wired different ways, and some people it's easier for them to ask, and other people it's really challenging to ask. I know that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is that it's challenging for me, but yet living at home, I mean, the financial burden, I mean, my parents are retired and there's guilt there because they could do so much if it wasn't for my disease. You know, they wouldn't have the financial strain they have if it wasn't for.
Yep. No, I understand. Yep, I absolutely understand. Finances is a huge thing with so many patients, and I know even in our lives, we have been on the brink of bankruptcy 4 times, and it's a very unsettling position to be in, and sometimes I sit there and go, oh my God, all of this because of me. But then you have to think, is it because of you or is it because of an illness that you didn't ask for, but an illness that somehow manifested itself in your life for some reason that some people may never realize or understand? It's a different way of thinking, but it's always there. That guilt is always there. You can't help it. Financial, between the cost of medicine, between the cost of hospitalization, it adds up. Even if you have insurance, and really good insurance, it adds up.
So the travel,
Yeah, and the travel on top of it. They have some websites that provide fundraising opportunities where you can just post a website, and it's not necessarily even family members who can donate to you, but to your cause. But it's also strangers who will do that, and you'd be amazed at how many people there are. So many wonderful people in the world who, when they hear something, and it doesn't have to be something common. I mean, cancer is all over. Everybody, when you say I have cancer, they get it. They understand. And when you say, oh, I have soup obstruction, or I have gastroparesis, or I have achalasia, you're going to scratch your head and go, you have what?
Well, and they don't understand because you don't look sick either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always, you know, oh, you look great, you look great. Well, yeah, but I'm fighting this every day.
Exactly. But there are some people now who have cancer who don't look ill. But again, it's that term, well, I have cancer, we're doing this fundraiser for cancer. But when the chips are down, I think it's important that, you know, you reach out, at least make an attempt to reach out and see what happens. Some patients have really done wonderful with it, other patients not. And it's always been one of my prayers with this organization to have enough support to be able to help patients who are in financial need. Now, I know the national, in fact, I was talking to Abby about this, the National Organization for Rare Disorders, or NORD, which our organization has been a part of for years, they offer some programs for financial assistance. I don't know, there are specific qualifications, of course, to get in, but certainly that would be also another avenue that you could explore along with some of these other websites. Just make sure the websites are legitimate websites that
So do you just Google them, or do you have a list that, like?
I have a few lists, and the reason is that other people have asked with different diseases for help and getting funds for what they're going through. So that's how I first became aware that there were so many there. So in my files I do, and I can email that to you, Johanna, if you want.
Okay. Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, I think there are some new ones that are out. So give me a couple of days on that to let me make a note.
Sure.
That I will do that for you. And you can always send me a reminder and just ask, remember, have you found anything yet? Or have you found your anything new to help?
Okay.
Because it's huge. The finances are absolutely huge when every time we do our taxes, and that's when you get the full blow aspect of how much has been spent. It's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And if you don't have money, you know, $12,000 to one person may not be a big deal, but when you don't have finance, $12,000 is a lot. You have $50,000, $70,000, $100,000, it adds up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you, I know in my own case, when I say, oh my gosh, I'm unable to work, so I can't contribute to the finances. Instead, I'm draining the finances. That's an awful lot of pain.
That's a lot. Yeah, it is.
It is. But it's very common, more common than a lot of people realize. Anybody else would like to share their thoughts on or experiences on the guilt that they've had to deal with? We have a lot of listeners there. Along with the finances and the social, then you have the guilt in relationships. And Johanna touched upon this where friends stop calling you or contacting you or asking you to go places. But it goes deeper. You may find that there are some family members, or even if they're in a relationship where it begins to crumble as a result of your illness. Communication breaks down. It's hard for a spouse or somebody who you are with, a partner, to come home every day and see somebody sick. And even though some of us try to hide as much as we can, it's still there. And then when there's a crisis, you know, it's bedlam. So, again, I've been very blessed in that regard. But through the organization, through all of these years, I've heard so many people where their relationship has not been so successful. And therein lies the guilt of what did I do? So that's another avenue that always kind of comes into people's lives. And it's a matter of sometimes training people. This is what we can do, like Anam had said this, but you have to do what's right for you, but at the same time, you want a quality of life where you can participate in it. They have Skype now, which is great. That's a way where you can be a part of everything, even though you're physically unable to. If you have an Apple phone, they have that face-to-face, which is another way that you can communicate with others and at least see what's going on. People post everything now on Facebook and all of these other social media sites, so that can be a part of it. It's not the real thing, but you have to pick and choose your battles of what you're able to do. And I think people begin to realize that there are some days when you're able to and some days when you absolutely can't. And as hard as it is for them to understand, it's hard for you to understand as well because you don't trust your body. Nothing is definite. Did somebody want to say something?
Yeah, Marianne. I just want to say thank you for having these conversations on the phone. I really enjoy being able to participate this way since I'm unable to do like Facebook and computer. Thank you for having the phone aspect. It means a lot to me.
Well, that's a privilege. It truly is a privilege to be able to talk about these subjects that so often when we're living with digestive motility, we lead a secret private life, and we suffer so many things, not only the physical, but the emotional, and all that goes with it, quietly in our own homes. But the reality is that it's important that other people learn to understand the challenges that accompany digestive motility. Because in teaching them, it helps them to understand. And even though many of us may not look ill, we're suffering greatly. And even though you say yes to something, and then suddenly you can't go, it's not because you're making excuses. It's because you have a genuine illness. And it's good to take that opportunity to teach others what you're going through. And then, as I say all the time, you're going to find some people who you'll tell and they'll understand part of it, but then they won't understand the whole idea. Then you have other people who will understand as best as a person can understand totally. And then you'll have other people who just won't get it. And I think one of the hardest things out of all the hard things that came with my learning to accept is that I learned to accept that there are those people who just won't understand, and that's okay with me. I have to release that and not be guilty, feel guilty or feel upset that they don't understand. The big theme is you did not cause. Somebody wanted to say something?
Hi, Mary Angela, this is Kate. I just wanted to chime in on that I wanted to chime in on that note and thank you so very much for the information that you sent to all of us in regards to explaining to others exactly what it's about, because the power of the pen is so powerful. And I copied off for my family members, and I forwarded to them that information, and hopefully financially you can get some support as well. But they were thrown aback. They, you know, I had always tried to explain to them the reasons why I can't do things, so forth, and but with that information that you provided us, it was in their face. It was like, oh my gosh, this is really real. And because, like we talked about before, we often look well, we're not. And that information that you provided to us for us and for others was just instrumental in them understanding our illness. And I think that they can really they've got a picture now of what my day is like. And I truly appreciate that.
Well, that's excellent. It's really hard for others to understand when you don't understand what's going on in your body as well.
Correct.
And often doctors don't understand all of the aspects of your digestive motility problems and all the other problems that may accompany that. So we're still living in pioneer territory as far as learning about this disease in the medical community. But it's really hard. Your body betrays you, and we don't have a lot of the answers that we want. I do know that we certainly don't want this type of a life. We didn't pick it out. But the good news is that we're alive. And my take on it is God has given me this time not to sit and feel badly for myself, but to utilize that time in a way that will be a benefit to others, as well as, you know, hopefully having a quality life. It has taken, you know, I've been sick for so many years. It's taken a long, long process. So I'm looking at my life in retrospect. And sometimes I even say, oh, my God, how did I even get through that? That was bad. And then I look at, oh, God, I got to go through this. How the heck am I going to do this? But somehow we all get through it. And we struggle with the physical. We struggle with the mental. We struggle with the impact it has on everybody else and all the activities that we have, including food, not being able to eat normally, not being able to live your life and just pick up anything you want and eat. It's extremely challenging. And those, it brings me back to that circle of continuous mourning that happens. With digestive motility, you really lose a lot of what you had. Yep.
Oh, it's Laura. I just, before we got off, I just wanted to throw in another little piece about guilt. At the beginning, when I was actually admitted the first time for uncontrollable vomiting, nausea, the whole nine yards, it took them over a year and a half to officially diagnose me. And the whole time going through anorexic, bulimia, psych evals, every time, nobody would believe me. And I felt guilty because they said, like, stress can bring this on. Well, I was working stressed at work, and I'm like, did I do this to myself? And now I'm making everybody else suffer? And I didn't, but at the time, it was a very guilty complex. And, you know, I didn't know if, you know, what was happening, why it was happening, neither did the doctors. So I felt very guilty that I was causing some kind of my own problem.
Yeah. You start to have that self-doubt. You really do.
I finally learned.
Especially.
Nothing I can change, so love me for who I am.
These are the cards that we've been dealt. The best thing we can do is try to deal with it as best we can. Not alone, but together, we can all work and try to help each other. I'm always so impressed that all of you who suffer so greatly every day of your life always manage to be a little spark in helping other people when they're down. Seems to be a very common characteristic with everybody who joins these programs. And I'm so impressed with that. I always am, because even in their darkest moments, they're helping other people. They're either helping them to understand, or they're giving encouragement, or they're saying prayers to somebody. And then when the tables are turned, that other person is doing the same. So I think the other important thing to note is that even though you may feel very much alone in your journey, you're not. We may have a little bit of separate pathways that we go through, but we have that common thread. And that common thread is that we all have digestive motility diseases, and we all know what that's like. And the guilt is part of it. We're getting short on time, so I'd just like to conclude by saying maybe the next time you have feelings of guilt that enter into your heart, just think about all those people and the things in your life that you're grateful for, and know that by all your experiences with ill health, you are making a good impact. It's tough, but if you can really try to look beyond yourself and don't miss out on the big and little things in your life and the preciousness of life itself, and you really do make a difference and make an impact. And I encourage you to make the most out of the life that you've been given. Moments of that guilt can be transformed into really blessed gratitude. I'd like to thank all of you for your willingness to share your deepest thoughts and experiences as they relate to guilt and living with a digestive motility disorder. And I hope that today you'll take some time to reflect on the conversation, as well as your own thoughts and experiences. And hopefully you realize that you are not alone, and that we absolutely understand, and that the guilt, even though it's hard, can be built into a positive blessing and a tremendous impact that you can make on others just by your own journey. You are all tremendous heroes in my eyes, and I truly am extremely grateful for the honor of having you share a piece of your world with all of us here today. I want to remind you that our February meeting, the Let's Talk series program, will focus on what we brought up today. Johanna brought it up, but you look so good, and I hope you will join us then. If you have any topics that you say, wow, this would be a great one for us to talk about during our Let's Talk series, shoot me an email, give me a call, and let me know so that we can incorporate it into our programming. I thank you all again for coming, and if you have any questions or you'd like to make any comment before we leave, please do. Otherwise, I hope that you all have the best day that you can. Yes, Inan?
I thought it says February 5th, the unpredictable nature of digestive motility. I thought But You Look So Good was in March.
February... Let me just get my calendar. February, I am doing a presentation on the unpredictable nature. And then at the end of February, we have the Let's Talk program, You Look So Good. And then in February, we also have, excuse me, and then as a patient group. And we do have a patient group that's taking place tomorrow, 12 to 1.
Yes.
For anybody who...
Thank you for reminding me, because I had someone help me braille the calendar. I brailled my own calendar.
My pleasure. And I thank you all. We are out of time, and I thank you all, and know that I am thinking of you and keeping you in my heart and praying for all of you. God bless.
And thank you for putting these together.
My privilege. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary Angela.
Bye, Mary Angela.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Mary Angela.
Bye, Laura.
I'm gonna hang up now. Thank you.